Well, our guest speaker today is Mr. Doug Cullen from Choose Life USA. And we were talking before, when we scheduled for you to come, the events that are going on in our country right now were not happening. I mean, the legal things that are going on, we had no idea. So this was, I believe the Lord has a message for us today, and I believe he's going to speak to our hearts through Brother Doug. So please give him a warm Four Bush Baptist Church welcome as he comes up.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you all, and this has been in the works for a while, and I'm glad to be here today. You all should have an outline that was in your bulletin. We'd ask you to take that out because we're going to share a lot of scripture with you this morning. Because the truth is that I can stand up here and tell you all anything in the world, but unless it's backed up by the Word of God, it don't mean a whole lot. Everybody has an opinion, but the only thing that matters is what comes out of the book. So we're going to cover a lot of scripture with you this morning. Those outlines will help you to follow along. And we also, just a bit of a plug, we do three-day revivals also out of Esther. Two of them are Finding Salvation in Esther, Fighting Injustices in Esther, and Persevering in the Culture from 2 Corinthians. We also have a table set up as you go out the doors to your right. If you'd like to visit that table, there's a lot of good information there. If you'd like to receive our newsletter, we put those out throughout the year. You can go to our website, ChooseLifeUSA.org. You can call me or text me on my phone and give me your information. I'll see to it that you get those. My wife and I have been traveling around the United States for the last almost 14 years without a home, sharing at churches. We've been at 1,300 churches in 34 states. We covet your prayers as we go. We thought by now that things would be getting easier in the ministry, but as your pastor said, there's always things changing, and there is an all-out battle for life. And sometimes, especially family, ask us, how long are you going to do this? Well, we're going to continue to do this until God calls us to do something different, because we believe that every life is worth the fight. Do you believe that, church? Every life is worth the fight. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. So we name the ministry from this verse, Choose Life Ministries. We covet your prayers. Our number one need is prayer because it is such a spiritual battle out there. Please, please hear our hearts. We're not here to condemn or convict anyone. Choose Life Ministries is not a ministry of condemnation. It is a ministry of restoration. If you know someone that's had an abortion or caught up in any kind of sin, share with them 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God may forgive us of those sins. No, God's word says, we confess, he forgives. That's a promise from God. You know, and there's no doubt we need to be more vocal in the church. We need to let our voices be heard. But brothers and sisters, everything we do needs to be in the love of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for the awesome opportunity to be here today, Lord. Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit will have free reign here this morning, Lord, that you will touch our hearts, you will prick our hearts, and you will change our hearts, Lord. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today, Lord. I pray that you will speak to them, that you will make your presence known to them, Lord. And there may be some that need to pray for our nation, Lord. There may be some that needs to pray for a lost loved one. There may be some that's done things, Lord, that they need your forgiveness. Lord, I pray. I pray for physical and spiritual healing here today, Lord, in this church building and across our nation, Lord. Lord, I pray you come against anybody or anything that come against the message that you would have heard here today. Lord, I pray that you would speak and speak in spite of me. And Lord, as always, Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And we ask this in the name that is above all names, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So what we're going to talk about this morning is truth versus lies. Now, there's so many lies out in the world, we could talk about them forever and never scrape the surface. We're also going to talk about how, as a nation as a whole, we're pretty backwards and upside down, and we could talk about that a long time also. But we're also going to talk about three things, three very, very simple things that you and I need to do as the body of Christ, the church. And when I speak of the church, this is a great building, but it's just a building. We are the church. You are the church. Three very, very simple things that we need to do to see our nation turn from a nation of death where we're at now. And there's no denying we are a nation of death, back to a nation of life where we were at throughout most of our history. So we got a lot of information to cover with you. Sometimes people tell me you speak so fast to that, y'all need to listen quickly, because we are gonna move along at a pretty good pace. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of y'all see this as God is nowhere? If you look at it long enough, you may see something different. I can tell you we've been in 1,300 churches, and I can tell you 90% of the churches, the first thing that pops into their mind is God is nowhere. Now, this is obviously a lie, so why would it be one of the first things that would pop into our minds? Because we live in such a culture and society. As a nation, as a whole, we really don't want any part of God. We've taken God out of the public school system. There's been multiple lawsuits to take God off of our currency and out of our Pledge of Allegiance. So as a nation as a whole, we really don't want any part of God until there's some kind of a disaster, and then we cry, God, where are you? This is a picture we took in Colorado Springs back early in the ministry. We were on our way to a church. This was on the side of the road. It was quite evident. I mean, it caught our eye. These are 14, 15, 6-foot letter, tall letters. Over to the right of this T, there was a military memorial with names of people from Colorado who had served our nation and given their lives so that you and I have freedom to meet here today. Over to the left of that memorial with these words, if you notice, they've left God out. And one of the problems is once you remove God, there's nothing that can replace him. And people say, well, that's Colorado, a very liberal state. And that is a true statement. But brothers and sisters, that is a barometer of our nation. God has given our nation victory after victory after victory and prosperity. And now as a nation as a whole, we don't even want to acknowledge his existence. But what about God is now here? And you know, this is the truth. And you know, you can go anywhere in the world to any people group that serves all kinds of false gods and everything else, and you can ask 100 people, do you want to be told the truth or do you want to be lied to? And I can almost guarantee you 100 out of 100 are going to say, give me the truth, because the truth is basically nobody wants to be lied to. But what our lost world doesn't understand, and our government, and all of those who think they're trying to remove God out of all areas of life, is what they don't realize is without God and his word, there is no truth. There is no truth. This is the only absolute truth there is out there. It's the word of God. It's infallible. It's inherent. It's true from the very first word to the very last word. Doesn't matter whether we understand it, whether it fits into our lifestyle or not. God spoke it, and it is the truth. This is a Gallup poll we're going to look at very, very quickly because it goes right along with what I'm going to talk about. In year 2000, there was a Gallup poll. And this Gallup poll revealed a couple of very interesting things. One of the things that it revealed is that in year 2000, 9 out of 10 Americans, 90% of Americans claimed to own a Bible. But out of that 90% who claimed to own a Bible, less than 8% read it and study it on a regular basis. Dangerous ground for us to be on in the church if we're not into the truth of God's word. Because we've already established there's so many lies out in the world that we could talk about them forever and never scrape the surface. So the question is how do you expose a lie, or how do you counter a lie? You have to use the truth. You have to use the truth. A lot of the lies that are being accepted, or they're being espoused by our world, are being accepted by truth, because we in the church don't know the truth well enough to expose or counter those lies. That's happening in our world today. It's happening in our church today. Another problem that comes along if you and I are not in the truth of God's word is how do we guard our hearts from believing all those lies? Because a lie can be very close to the truth, but a lie is a lie and a truth is a truth. So the very first thing that you and I need to do is the body of Christ, the church, to see our nation turn from a nation of death back to a nation of life is so simple. Brothers and sisters, we just need to get back to the truth of God's word. We just need to get back to the truth. As individuals, as the church, and as the nation, we need to get back to the truth of God's word. So as we go through the message today, the overlying theme is going to be getting back to the truth of God's word, because it all hinges on the word of God. But if you're part of that 90% who are 80, 8% that read your Bible and study it on a regular basis, then you believe that life has meaning. If you believe the Word of God to be true from cover to cover, then you believe there are godly standards that we need to be living by as Christians. If you believe the Word of God to be true from cover to cover, then you believe in the sanctity of marriage. And you know, you can turn on the TV and you can listen to the world and you can hear all kinds of definitions of marriage, but we've already established the world is full of lies. We don't want to listen to that. We want to take everything back to the Word of God. If we believe all the truths of God's Word to be true, then we believe in creation. Y'all don't know me from Adam, but when we started this ministry 14 years ago, our board of directors and our family wanted to make sure that we stood on the principles that we believe that God spoke everything into existence in 6 literal 24-hour days. Now, we don't have a problem doing that because the God we serve is so awesome, so mighty, He could have done it in 6 seconds had He chose to do so. He chose 6 days, and He chose 6 days for a reason. One of the problems we have in the church, and we do have a few in the church, one of them is we'd rather believe fallible man instead of the infallible Word of God. So what we're seeing today in our nation is a crumbling of the belief in the truth. Now, don't go out of here and say the pastor brought in a missionary that said the truth was crumbling, because we've already established right off the bat this is the only absolute truth there is out there. It's not crumbling. Isaiah tells us the grass and flowers will all fade away, but the Word of God will do what? It will stand forever. There's been many of a man try to destroy the Word of God, and successfully it's the same today, tomorrow, and always. But what is crumbling? What is crumbling is our belief in that. Because if that Gallup poll's correct, and after being in 1,300 churches, I can tell you it's pretty accurate, 92% of us in the church are not even picking up the Word of God and studying it on a regular basis. And because of that, so goes life. You know, sometimes people tell us at the back door, this issue of a life, this issue of abortion doesn't affect me. If you live in a nation that sheds innocent blood, it does affect you. Either directly or indirectly, it does affect you. But let's lay aside abortion for just a moment and talk about euthanasia. Because I don't know whether you all realize this or not, but the belief in euthanasia is growing very, very rapidly in this nation. 7 states have legalized assisted suicide, and 3 more are trying to get it legal in their state. Now, legalized assisted suicide is basically euthanasia. And euthanasia is the belief that once you have reached a certain point in your life that you can no longer contribute to society, then the world says that you're of no value. Brothers and sisters, that's not from God. That's straight from Satan. Because we don't have the right to put value on anybody's life. Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, we have euthanasia in America. Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, we have 3,600 unborn innocent babies that lose their lives just in America, and that's 7 days a week. Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, we have a lie of evolution. And I'm here today to tell you, brothers and sisters, in fact, I want you to exercise your minds a little bit right now. I want you to think about some things. And one of the first things I want you to think about is if you just evolved, or your child or your grandchild, if they just evolved, if they're just an accident, then somebody tell me, where is their value found? They really don't have any value, and the world's right. The lie of evolution is the unborn child's worst enemy today in America in 2019. And where's our value found? This is the first verse I want to share with you that I want you to hide on your hearts. Never forget it. Think about it every day. And that's Genesis 1:27. In fact, I want you to think about it right now. The God that created the universe, that spoke everything into existence, created each and every one of us in this room today in His image. We're created in the image of the Creator, and that is an awesome thought. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He, him, male and female created He, them. And again, this is where our value is found. And you know, the world would tell us that our value is found on how young we are, how old we are, how much knowledge we have, how thin we are, all these different things the world would say, but that's not true. Our value is found on the fact that God chose to create us in His image. And how much value is that? You know, there's a verse in Haggai that tells us that God owns all the silver and gold in the world. Man possesses it, God owns it. We could take this room right here and fill it up until it's running out all the doors and windows of gold, pure gold. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says what? It wouldn't purchase not even one of us. Not even one of us. Why? Because even though we hold gold to a very high value, when you place it up against the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not worth much. Amen? It's not worth much. This room full of gold is not worth as much as one drop of Jesus' blood. So what's the first thing we need to do? We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. We need to preach and teach that all human life is created in the image of God, and that we serve a very patient, loving Heavenly Father, and I'm thankful for that because I'm pretty stubborn sometimes. We need to look at the life of David. We're gonna stop here for just a moment and talk about the life of David, because David knows or knew when he was alive that he served a very patient, loving Heavenly Father. In fact, if you know someone who's had an abortion or caught up in any kind of sin, because sin is sin, take a moment and share with them the story of David. Because you start out by telling them that what? David was a great king. Nobody can argue that. In fact, David may have been the greatest king that's ever lived. And as you share the story of David, he was a great king, then you have to tell them that 2 Samuel tells us what? In all of his majesty and all of his greatness, David committed adultery and murder. So in other words, he may have been a great king and he was used mightily of God, but he was a human just like all the rest of us. He fell and he sinned. And as you share the story of David, he was a great king, he sinned, he fell. Bear in mind, we don't help anybody by watering down sin. We also don't help anybody by saying there's no consequences for sins, because there's always consequences for sins. You and I face consequences for our sins every single day. The very reason that there is death, disease, and destruction in our world today is a direct result of sin, because it was perfect at one point. And as you share the story of David, he was a great king, he sinned and fell. Then take him to Psalms 51. In fact, we encourage everybody to read Psalms 51 before you go to bed tonight. Because Psalms 51 is an awesome prayer of repentance that David prayed. God's word says what? With a right, contrite heart. Now, you can look to the person to your left and to your right, and maybe you know them real well. Maybe they're even a family member, but you really don't know their heart. But God does. And God knew the heart of David when he prayed this prayer in Psalms 51. And he prayed this prayer in Psalms 51 after he had committed adultery and murder. So we know there's forgiveness there. 1 John 1:9 that we just looked at tells us that. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes to see my substance, yet being unperfect. Remember that, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. This tells me that God knew David before he was ever formed in the womb. He knew each and every one of us here today before we were ever formed in the womb. And knowing us before we were formed in the womb and everything that we were ever going to do, God still loved us. He still loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to be our Savior. He shed his blood for our sins. And we'll talk more. That's love that you and I can't even begin to fathom. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. What's the first verse we need to hide on our hearts? Genesis 1:27. Why? Because God chose to create us in his image. The second verse that we need to hide on our hearts, Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 tells us what? That we are God's workmanship. Every one of us here today are God's workmanship. And you know, we could talk a long time about what it means to be God's workmanship. But you know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that God doesn't make junk. Yet we live in a culture that society wants to decide some people are junk and some people aren't. That's not for us to decide. So we're going down a dark, slippery slope in this nation, and there's no denying it. All we have to do is look around. Isaiah says, woe to them who call good evil and evil good, or vice versa. We're living in those days. We're living in those days. Every one of us here today can probably remember something we were growing up that was considered evil that our culture and society today says is okay, or vice versa. So we're living in these days, and why are we living in these days? Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word. And what happens when you start getting away from the truth of God's Word? You start believing the lies because we don't know the truth well enough to recognize a lie when we see it. And one of the biggest lies that's out there today when it comes to life, and unfortunately it's even in the church, is the belief that once you have found out at any point of pregnancy that you have a special needs child, such as Down syndrome, you should have the right to take that innocent baby's life. Why? Because the world says they'll never contribute to society. We don't want to listen to the world. We want to take everything back to the Word of God. Genesis 1:27, we just read, says that all human life is created in the image of God. Psalm says there's none perfect. Exodus 4:11 says, the Lord said unto him, who maketh man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And I got to tell you, as we cross America, we meet a lot of parents of special needs children. And without exception, they always share what a blessing from God they are. Because God is the giver and taker of life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. I want to introduce you to a guy very quickly. This guy's name is Nick. You may not recognize him. You may have never heard of him. I would encourage you to go to his website, lifewithoutlimbs.org. It's right there on the bottom of the screen, lifewithoutlimbs.org. It's got an awesome testimony. Nick was born in Australia, no legs, no arms. A prime example of someone that our world would say needed to be aborted. Why? Because how would he ever contribute to society with no legs and no arms? But if you know this guy's history, we can fast forward. He's an adult. He's married. He's got several children. And there's literally been thousands come to know Jesus Christ through this guy's testimony. I would encourage you to go to his website. I got about a two-minute video I'm going to show of him if it works. And we'll move on.
I wasn't ready. Chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know. And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. You know, I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
Quite a contribution. I would encourage you to go to his website. He's always got a smile on his face, got a great testimony. I'll put up the screen while I point out just how far we have gone down this slippery slope in this nation. We got any football fans in the house? A few? I see some nods. How many of y'all remember Michael Vick? Michael Vick hasn't been in the news much, but there for a while he was in the news quite a bit. Michael Vick started his NFL career as a quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons, and then he went to Philadelphia. But in between Atlanta and Philadelphia, Michael Vick spent 18 months in the state penitentiary for dogfighting on his property in Virginia. And I'm not here to debate with you whether he deserved to go to jail or he didn't. I'm a dog lover also. We have a little dog. He's part of the family, and we're going to miss him when he's gone. But here's the problem. When we start putting animals and plants above human life, we got issues. We got real issues and real problems. I want to point out three truths to you that you're not going to hear from our very biased mainstream media when it comes to Michael Vick. First truth, had Michael Vick opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia and taken unborn, innocent babies' lives instead of a dogfighting ring, Michael Vick would have never been fired by Atlanta because he was a franchise player. Truth number two, if Michael Vick would have opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia instead of a dogfighting ring, Michael Vick would have never spent a day in jail, because in the eyes of our nation, he wouldn't have done anything wrong or illegal. Within 2 weeks of getting out of jail, Michael Vick declared bankruptcy. He spent millions of dollars trying to stay out of jail for dogfighting on his property. And I remind you, he made millions while he was an NFL player. One of the years of his career, he was the highest paid NFL player. Here's truth number three. Had he have opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia instead of a dogfighting ring, Michael Vick would have been making money off the NFL, off the abortion clinic, all perfectly legal and at the blessing of our nation. As a nation, as a whole, we care more about our plants and animals than we do our unborn children. And that needs to change. That needs to change. But that change is not going to come through Washington, D.C. It's going to come through the church. Becoming unified on what God's Word says about life, and then taking the Word of God and challenging the lies that are out there, using it as a platform, and doing everything in the love of Jesus Christ. That's how we will see our nation come back to a nation of life rather than a nation of death. You know, one of the biggest problems we face today in our culture and society is our media. 90% of our media are self-proclaimed atheists. Yet you and I turn on the news and believe everything they tell us. Something's not right there. The media today, they play the war we're involved in Iraq and Afghanistan and different places up to the hilt. And I'm not here to downplay it or diminish it in any way, shape, or form. I'm thankful for those who have served our nation in the past. Some of them have given their lives so that you and I have freedom to be here today. I have twin boys that serve in the Navy, and I'm thankful for their service. So that's not what this is about, but I want you to get these numbers in your head. We've been a nation for well over 200 years. You take all the deaths from all the wars, and remember, this is over 200 years of history. It doesn't even come close, or it's 50,000 for each cross, one line of crosses. Remember, this is over 200 years of history. It doesn't even come close to the over, why isn't it advancing? There we go. It doesn't even come close to the over 60 million unborn, innocent babies that have lost their lives. And this is not 200 years of history. This is 46 years of history. This is since January 22nd, 1973, when our United States Supreme Court decided it was no longer wrong or illegal to take an innocent baby's life. But do you hear anything from the media about them? No, they're the forgotten ones. They don't have a voice. God's Word says the church should be what? The voice for those who do not have a voice. You know, there's no way we can know the heart of God in this matter, but Genesis tells us that God could hear the blood of one innocent man crying from the ground. Can you only imagine what God hears now? One out of every four pregnancies will end in an abortion. That's 25% of our nation we have lost since January 22nd, 1973. And 93 to 95% of those abortions have been performed on perfectly healthy mothers and babies. Genesis 9:6 says, if you shed innocent blood, your blood will be shed. What's the first thing we need to do to see our nation turn from a nation of death back to a nation of life? We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. The second thing that we need to do, we need to be salt and light. We need to be salt and light. But I got to tell you, out of the 1,300 churches we've been at, we're seeing too many churches that are being affected by the culture instead of the church affecting the culture. Did you get that? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Do you ever wonder why once you get saved, God just didn't take you home? Because you're here for a purpose and a reason. And that purpose and reason is to affect the culture for the cause of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trod under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light to all that are in the house. Verse 13 says that we are to be salt. Now, active working salt does what? It changes the flavor of everything it comes in contact with. It also preserves. We wouldn't be seeing so much spiritual decay today in our world if there was more spiritual salt coming out of our churches. This is written in red. It's not to the world. It's to who? To us. Straight from Jesus. Doesn't say you can be, you may be, you should be salt. Basically, verse 13 says if you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, then you are salt. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we salt that's changing the culture? Or are we salt that's lost our savor? The second verse goes on to tell, the second part of that tells us that we are to be light. You know, you go into a dark room and flip on a light switch, and what happens to darkness? It flees. Darkness and light cannot inhabit the same space. Light exposes darkness. Some ways that we can be salt and light, we need to educate people. We need to educate, educate, educate. It's so important. Back early in our ministry, the CDC reported, Center for Disease Control reported that abortions were down 5%. Focused on the family, James Dobson's organization did some research to find out why it was down 5%, because at that point, it was the first time we'd seen a decrease in abortions. By the way, the latest statistics are abortions are down 21%, so we are winning the battle, baby by baby. And some in the ministry say that's not very significant, and of course, it's not what we want to see. We want to see 100%, but it is worthy of celebration, because if you do the numbers, that amounts to approximately 300,000 innocent babies whose lives will be saved each and every year. And that is significant, especially if you're one of those 300,000. As they did their research, James Dobson's organization, they came up with three reasons why abortions were down. Number one, educate. It's so important. What do we educate people on? Not on my opinion, not on the pastor's opinion. What do we educate people on? We said right from the get-go, it all hinges on the Word of God. We've got to educate people on what God's Word says about life. Second thing, they came up with pro-life laws. There have been more pro-life laws passed in the last 10 years than any time in our nation's history. Your vote does matter. The third thing, giving women a real choice. Your local pregnancy care center. I don't know where your local one is, or the closest one to here, but if you're not already supporting them and helping them, you need to, because they're doing a work that's unmatched. And as Christians, we need to be voting. And I'm not going to get political with you, so don't start looking for a door to run out of. But I will say this, and please hear it in my heart. If you align yourself with a person or an organization or a group of people that has no problem with abortion, then that's an issue that you need to talk about, you need to think about, pray about. Because this is not a political issue. It's a right-wrong issue. Less than 45% of Christians vote on a regular basis. Church, we need to let our voices be heard from the church house all the way to the White House. It starts in the church, but we need to let our voices be heard. So many Christians today we meet will tell us we are 100% pro-life. Well, if you're 100% pro-life, it means while you're at church, starts at the church, while you're at Walmart, while you're at work, in other words, in the community, and when you go into the voting booth, you need to remain 100% pro-life. Moses loaded the animals on the ark 2x2. That's a true statement, right? How many of y'all believe that's a true statement? It wasn't Moses. It was Noah. I get some smiles, finally. But there's another reason we throw that in there. Every word in that sentence was true but one. And it makes the whole sentence a lie. The truth is the truth and a lie is a lie. Right is right and wrong is wrong. We need to get back to the truth of God's word. We need to be salt and light. And we need to be praying people. There's power in prayer, and we need to be praying people. We're going to have an invitation time here in just a few minutes. If you don't have any other reason to be at this altar, pray for the church. That the church will come out of our sleeping, complacent attitude and make a difference in our culture and society. Take the Word of God, become unified, use it as a platform, and do everything we do in the love of Jesus Christ, and we will make a difference in our culture and society. Pray for our nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a great verse to pray for our nation. If, and that's such a big word, if God's people, and who's God's people? It's not the world. It's you and I and the church. Church, we can't expect the world to get it right until we get it right in the church. We need to be praying people. We need to pray for pastors that they'll stand in the pulpits across America and preach God's word uncompromised. We have to contact anywhere from 150 to 175 pastors before we find one who will allow us to come share the message we're sharing with you all today. I appreciate your pastor allowing us to come. Pray for your local pregnancy care center. Pray for us in Choose Life Ministries. Our number one need is prayer. Pray for your youth and children. You had a great group of children up here. You need to pray for them. And your youth, if you have any. Pray for them by name, if you know their name. Because we need to see God raise up a generation of youth and children who are going to say, no longer are we going to buy into the lies of Satan. We're going to stand on the absolute truth of God's word. Because we don't want to hear as adults, but we've kind of dropped the ball. We're leaving our children and grandchildren an awful mess in this nation. That's not financially, that's spiritually. The youth and children of today can be the David that slays the Goliath of abortion in the future. We need to get back to the truth of God's word. We need to be salt and light, and we need to be praying people. And I know I've covered a lot of information in a short period of time. The bottom line is we need to see a change in man's heart. What we're experiencing in our world today is what's coming out of man's heart. So if you forget anything, forget the statistics, forget the other stuff, but don't forget the Word of God, because the power of prayer and the power of God's Word can and will change man's heart. And once the heart changes, what's next? The thinking. And once the heart and the thinking changes, what's next? The culture and society. Remember, Genesis 1:27 tells us that all human life, regardless of the color of the skin, the language they speak, or special needs they might have, all are created in the image of God. Remember that we serve a very patient, loving Heavenly Father who desires a relationship with each and every one of us. Remember that we are to be salt and light. We may be the only salt and light that some will ever encounter. Three things that are missing in so many Christians' lives today: the Word of God. How do we expose a lie if we don't know the truth? How do we guard our hearts from believing all those lies if we don't know the truth? There's power in prayer, and salt is an active ingredient. So as Christians, we need to get into the Word, we need to get on our knees, and we need to get up and get active. God didn't save any of us to warm a pew a couple times a week. He called us all to a ministry. James tells us it's not good enough just to be a hearer of the Word. We must be a what? A doer of the Word. Very quickly, we spoke at a church, Southern Baptist Church, in the heart of the Bible Belt, Bowling Green, Kentucky. Pastor was a friend of mine. We had been on the schedule for a while. And he would announce every so often that we were coming. And every time he did, he had this one lady that would catch him after the service. And she'd say, "Why are you having them come to our church? There's nothing wrong with abortion. There's nothing wrong with euthanasia." This went on for several months. True story. 3 weeks before we were to come, he called me and he said, "Brother, you may not want to come to my church. This lady, she may disrupt the services. And the sad fact is that 75% of my church agrees with her." I said, "Absolutely, we want to come. We wouldn't want to miss the opportunity. The question is do you want us to come? Because somebody may get their feelings hurt. If you haven't already figured out, God didn't call us here today to the previous 1,000 churches or to the next 1,000 churches to tickle your ears and make you feel good. He called us here to share the truth of God's Word about life. This is a sword. Sometimes it cuts, but it's also a source of healing." He thought for a moment. He said, "Brother, I was looking for a job when I found this one. Come on." So we bathed it in prayer. We came, we spoke. During the invitation time, that lady had been giving him so many fits, was the first one at the altar, tears flowing. She says, "I've been wrong my entire life." It was nothing we did. It was what? It used the Word of God and the power of prayer. Both. God has given us both of these. We just need to put feet and hands on them. As we get ready for the invitation time here in just a moment, you know, I said earlier that God knew each and every one of us before we were ever formed in the womb. But the truth is, God knew each and every one of us before the very foundation of the earth. He knew everything about us, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Even though Isaiah tells us our best is nothing more than filthy rags. Knowing all of that, God still loved us. He still loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Propitiation is a payment. How much was that payment? We already established God owns all the silver and gold in the world. That wasn't valuable enough. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our prayer today is if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. Statistically, somebody that's here today may not be here this time next week. The truth from God's Word is, if you know that you know that you know, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God forbid something happened to you this week, you're with Jesus just like that. But the other side of that is, if there's never been a time that you've ever accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and God forbid something happened to you this week, it's hell. Now, our world would say that's too closed-minded, there's got to be other ways. That's the truth of God's Word. The truth is a truth and a lie is a lie. Don't take the risk and leave here without the free salvation of Jesus Christ. Last verse I'm going to share with you, and then we can have the music director come back up and we can sing a song and have a time of invitation. Maybe you're here today and you get discouraged from time to time. I know we do in Choose Life Ministries. Isaiah 44:24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." If you're here today and you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, then you know that you know he's your creator and you know he's your redeemer. The two go hand in hand. Brothers and sisters, that's hope that a lost and dying world doesn't have. We need to take that outside the four walls of the church. It was an interesting poll taken a few years ago. It asked a large group of evangelical Christians, do you feel like it is part of your obligation as a Christian to take the teachings of God's word outside the four walls of the church? 58% of those polled said no. That's why we're in the shape that we're in. Brothers and sisters, if you know that you know that you know, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ here today, you have hope that a lost and dying world doesn't have. We need to take that outside the four walls of the church. As we prepare for an invitation time, everybody stand, please. Very simple, the invitation time. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, don't take the risk and leave here without that gift, that free gift that God provides. Maybe you have a burden on your heart. There's no need in taking that burden and dragging it around all week long. Leave it here. Leave it at the altar. Leave it at the pew, wherever you feel more comfortable to pray. The altar will be open. The pastor will be here to receive you. If you have a need, all of us have lost family members. All of us need to be praying for our nation because we need to see God do a healing on our nation. Because there's a promise there in 2 Corinthians. If God's people humble themselves and seek God's face, God will forgive us of our sins and He will heal our nation. But we've got to make the first step. I appreciate your time. We'll go ahead and have the time of invitation, and the pastor will be up here to talk to anybody or pray with anybody that needs that.